Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the build-up show. Liverpool are back in action. No more international breaks between here and glory. Speaking of glory, I've got the glorious Steve Hoare alongside me.
Oh, thanks, Steve. I've actually got more than glory, even though it's 5 in the afternoon.
Wow, that's impressive. You had this all that time.
I need to go to the doctors, don't I? there's an issue here.
You have some blue chewing gum, buddy. And the equally glorious Bailey Shaw.
Thank you. I was expecting that to be the glorious
The living chessboard himself. welcome, gents, to this one. Liverpool, Tottenham Hotspur, Steve. Yep. When I wrote this, so we Chris and I just recorded the podcast, and I really pumped myself up talking about the remaining of the season. So when I wrote this, it was a bit cold. It was like last night on the train home. So I wasn't really in the mindset for it. So I had it as, would be lovely to come back to an easy game. But what do you think, this situation, coming back off the international break, I think we cast a jealous glance a little bit at Man City, because on paper, they've got Fulham, we've got Spurs. Ultimately, it's a harder game for us, and we could do with them dropping points. What would you rather?
I'd rather have Fulham home than Tottenham at home, yeah. But it is what it is. I mean, it's largely irrelevant at this point who we play now. It's just, can we win that game? Because yeah, we're probably going to need to win, I mean, 6, maybe 7. It's going to be hard. So, yeah, I get your point. But I suppose last time coming off an international break, we beat them. We've won every game after an international break this year, albeit they've all been 3 aways. Mm-hmm. We haven't had to play at home yet. But to be honest, I fancy us against anyone at home.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Tottenham, Fulham, whoever, I would fancy us to get a result. Even Man City, I'd back us to do it. So I think that's the most important thing. I don't like going away games after international breaks. I mean, having said that, we've done well, like I just said, we've done well in those. But yeah, it's a tough game. But I think you're getting a Tottenham team who are desperate. And I think that's where it's slightly different. It's that they've been so poor recently that they've dragged themselves into a battle they never thought they were going to be in.
Yeah.
They thought they were going to be in the battle looking up, and not they're now in a battle looking down. So that's what's changed.
The thing where I hope springs eternal with me, Bailey, you know this. It's one of those games where, as much as Steve's right, again, on paper, like a Fulham at home, you'd be like, great, because there's a nice, easy game. Well, for a start, we just saw that it's not quite as easy as that, albeit I'll be playing Fulham away. I think there's such a potential bonus here from having it be a big game, which means that there's two things. A, there's no excuses from us for getting up, getting pumped up, making a nice big atmosphere, good kickoff time, and all that kind of stuff. But also a team that's going to come and have a game of football, because as much as it can be seen as a negative, especially on the beach, they've got stuff to play for. You know, Steve's right. They're not in the title race anymore. They're very much being dragged into the mire of that. They could end up in the Europa League. Yeah. So they've got. I could look at that as a fearful thing that makes it a hard game. But it also means that, look, I wouldn't like to come off an international break without rhythm and come up against a team that's going to park the bus at Anfield and not offer anything and look to just stifle us against a team that we should be beating when we've got no atmosphere, etc.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think it's what I've wanted. Like, I like international football, but only when it really matters. So, like, I watch the Euros, watch the World Cup and stuff. But when it's friendlies and shit, like, I can't be arsed. And then when there's so much of it on, I'm just like, twiddling my thumbs. Obviously, me and Sarah were in the office the other day, just the two of us, like,
yeah,
a bit boring when there's not when Liverpool aren't playing football. And it's, I think it's exactly what we need. Is sort of like we can't afford to sort of have an easy sort of get the ball rolling start again. So obviously, with the seven games left, they're all so important. And in a way, if you had a Fulham and then maybe a Burnley or something like that, and you were ramping yourself up, start high, come in, sort of baptism of fire, set the tone,
yeah,
and then carry that level on across the next seven games.
Absolutely.
Because we're so interested, you know, obviously Liverpool, look at where we are, we look at it from our point of view. If I'm Tottenham, the last thing I want after a run of games where we haven't won for ages, off the back of an international break where you're probably going to get, what, 2 days with your squad prep time, is to go to Anfield. Mm. You know, that best home record, yeah, in the league. We've lost one game all season. We haven't lost a home game in the league, you know, all season. That must be tough for them. That's the fixture they don't want. You know, they've got City down the line, I know that. And that's going to be a big game for them, a tough game away. But I think if you ask Tottenham fans, the last thing they would want after the international break is us away. I think us and City away are the two least desirable games.
Yeah.
So from their point of view, they're probably bricking it more than we are.
Let's be honest. The team you want is Bournemouth again. You know what I mean? You want a team that's going to come, try and play a bit of football, then ultimately get rolled over. For me, if we were to play a team that's going to come and make it dead hard for us in the defensive thing and go, you've got to break it down, and if you don't do it, it drags out, and then the nerves creep into the fans. We don't get to think about being nervous in this one. We might do build up to the game because it's a big game and you get your pre-match nerves or whatever. But there's so much, because there is no real rivalry between us and Spurs. Not like there is with Chelsea or Arsenal or United or City these days. But they're another big team. It is still regarded as a big game. It's a top six. It's a top six game. Our focus is on it being that. You know what I mean? On roaring that and out singing them and out fighting them and all this kind of stuff. That we won't have time to worry about the negative side of things, which I think is a big
goal. Yeah, and like I said, the thing with Tottenham is they're a good team. They're third in the league, and you know they have been in poor form in the league.
And the recent form, they've lost 3 and drawn 1. Burnley, Chelsea, Southampton, a defeat and the draw.
The draw against Arsenal, they should have lost them. You know, Aubameyang misses a late pen, doesn't he? And Spurs get a pen that's offside. So it was they haven't played well in the league. Obviously, they've had the European results, which have been good. But yeah,
the European stuff. Because it's easy for us to look at the form and look at a top line. You can't unpick the fact that they're two great results against Dortmund in the middle of that.
And I was about to say, would Pochettino do what he did in Dortmund, albeit he had a 3-0 lead, but he very much went and parked the bus there, you know, and got the away goal. They were 4-4-2 for a while. They were under the cost. They went 4-5-1 and they just kind of saw the game out very professionally, which, you know, was a bit unSpurs-like, if I'm honest. You know, they got knocked out of last year's Champions League by being too open against Juventus and getting done on the break. So will he do that? I don't know, because what we have to remember is a point's a good result for Tottenham in this game.
Yeah.
I think if you ask most Tottenham fans now, and again, I don't know any personally at the off the top of my head, but I think most would say, you know what, I would take a point here and move on.
Mm.
And a point's not, it isn't the end of the world for Liverpool, don't get me wrong, it doesn't kill us, but it's a game, it's
2 points dropped.
It's a home game, we should be expecting maximum points from every home game.
I think psychologically from them, because I agree, I think a point they come away with. I wonder whether they need something from this game though, Bailey. Yeah. You know, they need to not get beat in that. Yeah. And whether that influences how they do approach the game, I'm not so sure. But I choose to hope that it means that they will have a go at something, because look, it is in the DNA of that side, certainly. Yeah.
Mm.
Because psychologically, losing to Liverpool on the run of that, to come back after the international break, and it's one thing for us to drop points against Spurs and we could rationalise it as it's a tough game, etc. All of a sudden that gets tagged onto their thing, and they've got Arsenal breathing down the necks, they've got United breathing down the necks, they've got potentially Chelsea. You know, if Chelsea pick 3 points up on them, then
it isn't beyond the realms of possibility if they lose and that they could be sixth in a couple of weeks' time.
From a team
that were battling for a title, you know, they're only 4 points ahead of Chelsea.
Yeah,
a loss here and a draw somewhere else, and before you know it, they're out there at the sixth. So it is a big game for them, and I think that's what worries me slightly. You mentioned about them being open and going for it, and I think I don't think he will be that way inclined. I think they'll come here knowing that a point's decent, and I think they'll be more defensively solid than we've seen them. I think you'll get more Dortmund away than Dortmund at home, where they were pretty open.
Yeah, it's fair, but then I think you referenced it in the podcast, is that when you have bad result after bad result after bad result, it's either you look at that as, you know, this is a good thing to look at because they're going to carry this form on, or it's got to stop somewhere. And for me, it's a case of, if we can take it to them, really sort of kick them up the arse and say, this is Anfield, this is what we do, push that on, because it will eventually happen. It happens to all teams. They stop this rot, but they've got City in the space of 2 weeks, three times. And it's like, if we can punish them and punish them, and it goes, the further that goes on and the more frustrated they get as a team, the more angry that they are and desperate they are for a win, the more it benefits us. So
you want them going into those City games. I mean, they'll go into the Champions League one giving it their absolute all, but you want them, I don't want them giving up the ghost on top four and throwing their eggs into the Champions League basket such. Yep. You know, you want it to be as close as possible or whatever, or you know, you don't want them comfortable so they can afford to take their eyes off the Premier League. Yep. You want them hungry for that. Just on the Liverpool stuff, obviously we've seen Naby Keita back in training, I think good thing. We know Joe Gomez is back in training. Oxlade-Chamberlain was talked that he would be available from this kind of period. I don't think we've heard anything on Trent yet. There's pictures of him in training, but not. I didn't see any pictures of him out.
No, he's same as on the pitch. He's got a bad back, hasn't he? He had this back thing, and yeah, Klopp said he won't know until Thursday, Friday, whether he's available, whether he's just playing the game because he did miss England, so you know he's got the Ryan Giggs bad back, or he actually has got a bad back. We probably don't know that.
That's a good thing. Obviously, they don't know that either.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, keep it by all means. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell Tottenham anything. That would be a huge blow if he was missing. Like, I don't think, other than the front three and obviously Van Dijk and stuff, Trent's one of our most important players now, isn't he? And we have struggled when he's not been there, and because basically we just don't have anything else. I don't know whether Gomez would be ready to go and play straight away 90 minutes against Tottenham at right back. So you would be looking at Milner or Henderson again, and that obviously isn't ideal. It's not what you want. So I think if Trent's missing, that's a big blow.
Is there maybe a Spurs don't quite have the pace out in the way. They don't use wingers in the same way that other big teams would hurt us. So is it maybe slight? I mean, this sounds like I'm setting us up for something here. Like, but maybe slightly less of an issue if you've got a Milner in right back for this game.
I think it depends. I think you can take this in a sec. Obviously, you've just looked at the sort of formations they play. But if it's like you're saying, with it's going to be Dortmund away and they're just going to sit back. I mean, that's exactly where Trent would be so ideal for us, because he's so good at pinning their defence back and letting us use this left and the right wing, and he's so important to have, making sure Salah has a good game with the service that he gives him. But with Milner, I feel like it's safe. Like, you don't lose much defensively, but you lose so much going forward, and it's sort of that right channel becomes sort of non-existent. You have to sort of go left.
I suppose you're right, but it's going to be what it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't have anyone as good as Trent Alexander-Arnold. No, so it's more that thing of, is it Milner? Is it Henderson?
It's got to be.
You'd think Milner. Spurs, they don't really use wingers, but they have got pace.
Yeah.
So if the second they see James Milner right back on the team sheet, they just tell Son, or they tell, if Moore is playing, he's quick as well, just a little bit wider, you know. Yeah. And we've seen Milner struggle against good wingers, and they're both good players. Mm. You know? So when Milner played right back, I think Zaha gave him a bit of a time, didn't he? Ended up getting sent off in that game. So that's the thing, is that if, again, Milner's he's a fine, capable right-back, but you would be a little bit concerned that... But then, you know what, having said that, they're both good players and they can get the better of Trent. So it's one of them. It's that I would be... I'd actually be more worried about it from an attacking point of view. Defensively, I think they've both got their slight limitations, Milner and Trent, but going forward, I agree. A lot of our game is... We kind of leave Trent on an island. When we attack down the left, there's lots of interplay between Mane, Robertson, Wijnaldum sometimes sifts over. When it's Trent on the right, because Salah goes wherever he wants, which is fine, that's his game, Trent's kind of on his own, and I think he's all right to do with that.
We trust Trent with well. But that's the good thing about Milner. We did that with Milner at left back.
We did, yeah.
To be fair, as a full-back playmaker kind of thing, and Trent is that in this team now, which is why the Milner thing doesn't bother me so much. I 100% agree. Trent's streaked ahead of everything else we've got in that position. He's 20 years old. You know, what's he going to be in 4 years' time?
Very rich, like, if you look at this Under Armour deal that's coming out of the pandemic.
Definitely. Well, I don't know if he keeps spending it on community projects.
stop buying school.
Rich in soul, but probably not in bank account. Honestly, fair play. Brilliant, brilliant.
Makes me feel bad about myself.
Honestly, it makes me feel like a terrible human.
There's a 20-year-old building a school.
No, because we have got a charity box upstairs that we are giving graciously to. The sweet box.
I was going to say, there is a pack of... that should be more meat. Because I'm trying to diet, obviously, you can't tell yet. I haven't contributed to the sweet box more, so I feel even worse now.
Yeah.
Trent's making me just feel less of a person.
Less of a man. Less of a human being.
That's fine.
This is a great thing. Our good friend Adam Rowe, the stand-up comedian, did a great video about heckler, with the vegan heckler. Mm. And he's like, it's not... just the problem is that these people... I've got no problem with people doing brilliant things. All you're really doing is making me feel worse about myself and making me realise what a horrible human being I am. Yeah. So, yeah. Thanks, Trent. You beautiful, wonderfully talented, big charity man. We want him in the team, I think. I'm encouraged by it. It was mentioned to us, Chris and I had a conversation with someone the other day, and he brought up the client stuff, and I was half in the conversation. I was playing my Switch, and I heard Chris go, "Oh God, I've not heard anyone mention Klein in weeks now." And it's funny. I remember saying I did something for the Echo at the time, saying no one will talk about Klein in a month's time when Liverpool win the games. Yeah. But that's the thing for me, is that I still come back to it. Milner's not a world class right back.
He could go Gomez. I wouldn't be if Gomez is fit. He could throw him in.
Do you think a very, very, very fresh Gomez after 3.5 months would do a better job than a Milner who's played there a lot?
It's a good question, though. But Milner's had the international break off, hasn't he? You know, he's
been running around Dubai.
Well, exactly. But he's the one. He always plays after international breaks because he's there. Yeah. He gets the longest tactical instruction.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just whether we want to put it, whether that tactical instruction has been, you're getting trained and right, you know, this is what you're going to be doing for right back, and you've had an extra spell of that, or, you know, as normal, you go back to a midfield of either Fabinho or Henderson with Genie and Milner in the midfield that. But equally, like Lallana's been at home as well, hasn't he? Like, so yeah, interesting decisions on that, because we've not prepared 11s in any way, shape, or form for this, and Steve's got to go and pick his kids up, so we haven't got time to do it. So let's just talk through, you know.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The midfield, I think that's the big decision point.
It's the only one, isn't it, really?
Adam Lallana?
That's what I put down. I did one just in case. Good. And Lallana is my chosen midfielder. I think that, so he's had, what, start against Fulham. Who was the game afterwards? No, it was Burnley, yeah, Fulham, that he's now played in, hasn't he? And I think I said when I did the starting 11 that I don't think he was ready for a European game. Because people were putting in the chat, oh, what about Lallana? Has he earned a game against Bayern Munich? And I was like, I think he's had a very good game against Burnley. I wouldn't put him against Bayern, but we'll see how he performs at the weekend. Had a really good game then. I think now, I think he staked his claim to have a go there. And I think that you look at the other options, you got Henderson, and I think he's a bit too defensive for my liking, because I've got Fabinho and Gini in there as well. So, sod it. I think Lallana could have this is his time, I think, to show us how we can do it.
I think we're being... This is how we're going to play. There was a lot of conversation of, would we do horses for courses? Would we see 4-2-3-1? The uncertainty, 4-3. I think not. I think we know what our best formation, we know what our approach is. We've got the time to train it for a bit now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me to see Lallana in. The question is I guess the minutes and the legs, is Fabinho a better option than Henderson? And inevitably, there'll be some people rolling their eyes at even the suggestion, but it's a consideration. Fabinho, Gini, Lallana's, I'm absolutely fine with that as a midfield three.
I would play Henderson and Fabinho with Wijnaldum, if I'm honest, and go just a little bit tighter. But again, that's just maybe I'm being a bit...
The Fabinho thing for me, for too many years in recent years, I've watched Dembele for them. Mm. Obviously, he's gone now, hasn't he? But he'd be such a physical presence in that midfield. I've watched him bully our midfield when he just gets up, you know, we haven't been able to get near him. That's why I love Fabinho. For the first time in so long, we've got a proper powerhouse in midfield. Yeah. And not just a grok one, not just a stupid one who just kicks people and whatever. Mm. As we know, he's such the complete package. I'm excited to see it. I just want to see Fabinho tested in every possible form.
Mm. It makes sense. I think he should be nailed on. Mm. He should be doing... He's the one of... I'd guarantee him playing.
Yeah.
I think Wijnaldum's pretty much earned himself a place. And then there's the other one. It's Henderson, Keita, Lallana.
You'd suspect Keita's... I wouldn't think he'd be putting Keita straight in. But then again, you think back to it. If Keita sticks that chance away that Mane gives him, which he shouldn't give to him, he should just give to Salah, hindsight, at Wembley, that could have been the thing that really kick-started Keita. Because we saw that was the first time we really saw what Keita was meant to be, transformative to our team, because he'd been fine to that point. Him being that extra attacker, supporting on the counter-attack. So, you know, maybe it could be that Spurs is just a good team for him to play against.
What if we played Fabinho, Henderson and Gini up top? Because obviously he's just done that.
We've just had an international break where he's been class again for that Holland, and everyone goes, why doesn't he do that for us? No, it's a valid question.
What makes it difficult is, and Bailey touched on it before, is that we don't know what Tottenham are going to do.
Yeah.
Because their last four games, they played like four different formations. So, like I mentioned, they were three at the back at one stage against Dortmund. They played wing-backs. Jan Vertonghen was like the best left back in the world in that game. they went to Southampton the last game and played like a bit of a diamond, where it was Kane and Moura were up front and he left Son on the bench. They played three at the back again against Arsenal, I think. Right? Yeah, 3-4, but three with the wing backs. And then they played 4-2-3-1 against Chelsea. So
bad.
It's hard to know what type of midfield to pick, because you don't know what you're going to come up against.
Mm.
I've gone for Fabinho and Henderson in my preferred, or what I would do, is because I think Tottenham, whatever they play in midfield, whether it's a 3 or a 4, two of those will be a bit more offensive. So it'll be someone sitting, whether it's Dyer or Winks, probably you'd imagine one of those two. And then Eriksen's definitely going to play. There's a good chance Sissoko might be in there. There's Ali as well.
Is Wanyama fit?
I don't think so. I think it's mainly... He likes playing Sissoko. He likes having him on the pitch when he runs about. So I don't think it's the worst thing for us to have two guys who can match them in terms of physicality. Because Eriksen's the key, so who can someone get on him?
Yeah.
And I would still back us to create chances with what we've got against their defence. They've got very good defenders, don't get me wrong, but I don't think, to be honest, I'd back half on free against anyone, so it's one of those.
The formation thing's interesting, because I think our 4-3-3 was crafted to beat the 4-2-3-1. That's why that was always the difference. Everyone plays 4-2-3-1, but the truly, truly elite teams play more of a 4-3-3 and variations on how attacking you want to go that, with City being their absolute top end, but it's basically, 4-1-5? Yeah, you know. I mean, no, obviously, for obvious reasons. Yeah. honestly, given the way they bend the rules, you never know. They'll probably fucking try it and then fucking hide it in fucking emails after the fact.
Never mind.
Whispers have got that leaked team.
never mind that we cheated. The real issue is that you hacked our email. You took a picture of our formation on the pitch. It's your fault.
Never mind. It's not important that you caught me banging someone else. You took photos of me banging someone else. I didn't ask. I didn't give permission for you to take photos of me having intercourse with someone else. Honestly, where's Ben when you need him? So all that. Look, ultimately, tough to. The good thing is, what it comes down to again is options is something me and Chris talked about on the podcast. Today. Yep. We're getting to that stage of the season now where, yes, we're not 100% all there ready to go, but instead of it, for, and Spurs are kind of going, I feel like Spurs are getting to that point there. I think they're going to go all in on the Champions League. They're going to, you know, they'll have some winnable games to come. Hopefully, secure top four for them, because I'm not asked.
As long as it's not United.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but that's where their energies will fall. I predicted from the start of the season they would struggle toward the back end because of just how the World Cup exertions. They just had too many people playing too deep in the World Cup. Mm. We, on the other hand, and fingers crossed and touch wood, and I'm literally going to fucking get
touch
up to
the
touch
chair,
wood.
There's a chair.
The, because, I need, because it's too important.
Nice to be with you, well.
We've got...
I meant me.
For you.
Yeah, it was right in my face. It's fine, I don't mind, I'm not complaining. That morning glory's fine.
We're talking about Naby Keita's back in training. Find that Adam Lallana's finally finding form. We've got Oxlade-Chamberlain back in training, Joe Gomez back in training. This is not perfect, but this is so unusual a situation that this is what you're looking for.
Yeah, in previous seasons, Allegri fell off. We come back from this international break and...
Well, we recognise this. I can see it bones. In Spurs because I recognise it in us.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. We've come back off this exact... I remember going that run when we had to secure top four, the last two seasons... like Emery Chan's won the goal at Watford and stuff, where we were literally picking 11 lads because there was no, and it was go again.
We West Ham away, but we did that with like Origi and Sturridge up front and Lallana playing.
And then it was 4-2, wasn't it?
We've struggled at Watford, we've gone to West Brom and had to dog it, we've had 0-0s against Stoke and stuff where we've just looked tired.
Really like worldy saves and we've
looked really tired, and that's how Tottenham have seemed to me in the last few weeks. Again, they've had a lot of players on international duty, similar to ourselves. They don't know how fit they all are. It's a strange one, but I'm in a point where if you'd have offered me what we've got now in terms of fitness, you'd have probably taken it, wouldn't you? Touch wood, there's not you can cope, there's no big ones, someone's done their cruciate like has happened around this time in previous years. So yeah, I think we're as good as we could probably wish for in terms of squad health.
Yeah, the interesting thing is obviously you're saying got all these guys back and they're back in training. A guy I think is going to be huge coming back is Salah. Yeah. I mean, this is exactly what fans have been crying out for since the start of the season, is give him a break.
Yeah.
Going from Champions League to getting injured to playing for Egypt to coming straight back into pre-season again, and he just hasn't had a rest.
And I think he had a proper rest anyway, Ollie.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully this is what he needs. He just needs to recharge, cut his mind away from football and politics and everything, like I say, being plunged into the media. And just go back to being human and just sort of take yourself off out of the limelight and then come back and finish these seven games the way you started it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Yeah, I completely agree with that. Salah's the interesting one. This feels like this could be it. You know, he's got a good record against Spurs in particular. I don't care how he does it. He needs that goal.
Yeah.
Get to that 50 goals. And my deep gut feeling on this is that the second he gets that, you know, I don't think he'll do it. I think it's kind of like the Ian Wright thing or the sort of thing. He'll score two. You know, in the game that he does it, he'll score two. He'll score a hat trick or something mad. Mm. Like it'll just be like, you know, Andy Dufresne, and then the Shawshank Redemption. You know, like big one of those watershed moments in his life.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Right, we're gonna do a little bit briefly looking at Man City and some score predictions in a sec. But Steve and I did a fantastic show on the RedmenTV.com, the running special, where all of this stuff that we've kind of been hinting at and alluding at, looking at what is happening with Liverpool and with Manchester City between now and the end of the season, domestically, Champions League, what it means, the fixture congestion, the fixture pile-up, when the big things are going to be happening, and ultimately how Liverpool are going to, touch wood, construct a double, is a little clip from that.
We get the extra day's rest before we then go to Cardiff, which I think we've just seen. I think Fulham, there was a little bit of European hangover. Mm-hmm. Depending on what happens around Porto, there definitely could be something there as well.
Yeah.
If Liverpool Ross are going to do anything, and you know, if we're banking on the City dropped pointsness of the league, you're looking, this is the spell. So you're talking Palace, Tottenham, United, Burnley. You're pinning your hopes that it's one of those games, that's where they slip up. They have to slip up for us to win the league. This is the scenario where big European game, they're either through and you might get a little bit of Lord's Mayor's show after it. They might have beat Spurs, and Spurs are very much up for revenge, knowing now that their European fate hangs on a top four finish rather than actually win the damn thing. Liverpool go to a Cardiff team who will be battling relegation, but Liverpool should beat. If you don't beat Cardiff, then
don't deserve it.
Then unlucky lads, you know, you fucked it yourselves. So this game week four, this is where Liverpool, I think, could turn the screw. If anything's going to happen, I've kind of circled this bit of their run of, they go to Palace, and then they go Spurs, Palace, Spurs, United. That, I mean, as runs go, that's a fucking cunt.
And what's interesting, sorry, Ross, is that we obviously go to the following game week, as we mentioned, you're then going into potential Champions League semi-final territory as well, which is just, it's brutal. It was a belter of a show.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm really, really, you hosted it expertly.
Thanks, mate. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there was a lot of pressure on, because I was literally sat opposite you watching.
It was like interviewing Parkinson. I think that's what it was like for me. I felt like I was under pressure. No, it was interesting just to go through, not just who's obviously who each other are playing, but when. I think that's such a key thing that you know who you're playing when you come back from a Champions League game, or you know, you go away to Porto or you go away to Tottenham, who's next, because that's when it can be difficult. Yeah. It was interesting, and like you say, we planned up after the double. Mm. I mean, we had Man City winning their own double as well.
Yeah,
I think.
Absolutely.
Just not the good one.
Yeah.
I think if the world's fair, we can both win two.
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
In fact, you know what? I think they won the Charity Shield, so they can even have more trophies than us this season. Yeah. We'll just have the league and the Champions League ones.
The League Cup and FA Cup double is a perfectly good double.
Champions League as well. Call it a treble if you want, lads. We'll just take the two big ones, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
If the world's fair.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, watch that show. It's on theredmentv.com. It's free for the first month. You can go and try it out, see how you get on with it. Really, really good. It's over an hour. Really in-depth. The feedback's been brilliant on it. The amount of people who've messaged us and said, like, it really got me through it, because you can get the audio versions if you want to go to the gym and you're on a long commute and you're really struggling with this stuff. We'll get you through it. If you've got time to sit down, put your feet up, get it on the telly, you can do that as well, of course. And you can get all the stuff in your podcast app, so you can take it on the go as well. Man City, as mentioned, Fulham, early kickoff Saturday. It would be absolutely foolish of us, Bailey, to think this is going to be anything other than City trouncing Fulham over the place.
We literally said the ideal draw would be, the ideal game after a break would be Fulham at home. And who have City got? Fulham at home.
That's kind of why I said it, to be fair.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't that you really chose.
You picked the second worst team in the league, which was just. But yeah, it's that. Like I say, I stopped worrying about City. I turned my notifications off on the Premier League app for City about 2 months ago now, because it's all gone out the window for me. I think it's, again, do what we do best and just let the chips fall where they may. And if an upset happens, then brilliant, but I'm not gonna look for it.
Spoiler from our show, I think we all agreed City are gonna win the next two games. We would think it's Fulham and Cardiff. It's after that day where I'm gonna probably start tuning in and wishing when they've got Palace and they've got United and they've got Tottenham.
I said we got asked by BT to be involved in something about, because they had both the games of the week, and we had the Burnley game. Mm. And like, we watched Liverpool fans watching the City game, and I was like, no Liverpool fans are gonna do that. No. I said, but maybe, look, as it progresses, maybe, you know, when it starts to heat up, as you say, and the advice is more wide ranging and more in depth than this on the running show, but there's a spell in the middle of the remaining fixtures where Man City are either going to hit the wall and crumble, or they're going to fucking smash through the wall and it'll all be done and it'll be academic. Yeah. And if they do that, then taking apart all the, you know, putting aside all of the financial things, which I think is an issue that obviously needs to be looked into, blah, 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 you'd have to kind of doff your cap and go, even with a super squad, that's still bloody impressive that they've done that. So the focus remains on us. Liverpool just need to keep winning games and keep stressing Man City out and know that we've just played less football. We should have more in the tank. Mm. It's going to come down to, for me, they've got more bodies and they've got more quality in rotation, I think. But I think we've got not too far off, but I think we've got more in the tank in terms of how we've rotated and also in terms of not having played as much football
and
as they have.
And what they've got coming up as well.
Exactly. And they have that extra game. Yeah. It's the points on the board thing that we've got that they don't have. Yes, that it's in their hands, but they've still got to go and win that. And that's it. And that's why it's impossible. It's impossible to pick, but it's, you know, either way, it's going to end up being probably the most unbelievable Premier League season ever, because you're going to get a record points tally for the top two teams in the history of
I'll hold my hands up and say there will be a time soon where I tune in madly supporting the other team who City are playing. Yeah. And God forbid, it could even be Man United, which I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do, but
it's beat myself up afterwards.
there's going to be a point where I'm not going to bother watching City be Fulham and hoping and really backing Fulham. And listen, if Fulham can go and do something, fantastic, good on yous. But it's not the game where I'm sitting down tuning in for, because it's almost a waste of energy.
I think City fans will be tuning in this weekend.
And rightly so.
It's a big game. Yeah. But I think the Newcastle game, their Newcastle game with the drop points, was the perfect example of this. And I preached it then. Switch off to it to the best of your ability. I know it's hard because people consume football differently to me. And when you're younger, you've got nothing but time. When I was 15, 16, 17, the footy wasn't around as much, so you couldn't pay attention to it as much as you can now. You can watch it, but you can watch every game. Fuck off. You can literally watch every game that's on at the moment.
Listen to it on the wireless.
You're on the old wireless.
And it's Man City, and it's 6 and 7 to the north.
From inside me Anderson shelter. Yeah, absolutely.
Nicky, some of his scores for City.
Kenneth Wollstonecraft was the commentary, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. But the point is that there's people now who are so obsessed with football, they consume every game of football they possibly can. And I know it's weird that might be weird for me to say this to people, but do yourself a favour. All that lies down that path is mental illness.
It's an Aguero hat trick.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. No happiness exists down that path. Maybe the off chance. So the thing is, do it. Ditch your notifications. Trust me, when Fulham are fucking 2-0 up with 20 minutes to go, you'll know, because you'll get texts, text messages and phone calls when people actually use their Defcon voice 1. Across the device in your hand to talk to you directly. You know, ring your landline and all that stuff.
If Ryan Babel scores, do you think there will ever have been a more disparity than his celebration against what he did against us to how we will celebrate? Because he really didn't want to score that goal. He looked for every way out of scoring it, and then ultimately had to score it. When if he scores against City, it could be the absolute chalk and cheese.
Is there something too, but just thinking of Bailey and that and how his season's panned out so far, of like B4B3L, you know, something like that. 96th minute, Ryan Babel. Will you dye your hair red like Ryan Babel if he scores the winning goal?
I can do dyeing hair. So I'm not getting a tattoo of Babel. So
he is only the prototype Origi, mate, to be fair.
He's just the original.
Okay, so
blasphemy. So Bailey will dye his hair red if Babel scores the winner.
I'd dye my hair red if he scores the winner.
I'd offer that, but
it wouldn't last long.
You'd look more like Babel.
Yeah, it is very short as hair, isn't it?
Like he's got to swim your head red.
Can you just write Babel on the top
of
it?
Can we just spray some silly string on your head red or something like that?
That's fine.
All right, gauntlet set.
Brilliant. Score predictions then for us?
I've noticed that every time I'm on the show, I always go 3-0. So I'm going to say 3-0.
Okay, cool.
I think it's going to be nervy. I'm going to go 2-1.
I'll say, I think it's 2-1.
Spurs are good. I think they've got a good team. I know they're in bad form, but they're a good team.
Oh, you know what? Bollocks to it.
7-0.
4-1 to Liverpool.
That's fine.
Why not put them in the place, please? Salah, just do it, Liverpool, and let's roar onto the finish line from there. Score predictions then in the comments section underneath. That would be very, very much appreciated. Watch the rest of the content over on the Rebel. On the redmentv.com. Subscribe, as I say, start your free trial. It's £5 a month thereafter, so it supports everything we do. You know, the YouTube stuff is free because of the wonderful people who subscribe to the website. It funds the whole endeavour. So yeah, please do get involved. If you like what we do and you want more of it, there's tons of extra content, podcast and video form. Or if you just fancy supporting the show, by all means, do just that. And we did a major announcement on the podcast as well. Me and Chris have got our own channel where we chat shit. We'll link to that underneath and we'll annotate to it at the end of this video as well. Other than that, guys, thank you.
You're welcome.
I know we
chat shit on this channel. Yeah,
How is that different than this? Where's the unique selling point?
Exclusively separate.
Yeah,
you get exclusive shit.
Not as much Liverpool shit.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's the stuff that we get bollocked for talking about on here that we can talk about.
Brexit.
Hashtag bollocks to Brexit. Brilliant. Thank you very much, everyone. See you all very, very soon at the weekend, no less. Ta-da.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.